Today's show is brought to you by AdamandEve.com. Go to AdamandEve.com right now and you'll get 50% off just about any item. All you have to do is enter the code word GLORY, G-L-O-R-Y, at checkout.
Be advised that this show is not for children, the faint of heart, or the easily offended. The explicit tag is there for a reason.
Recording live from Glory Hole Studios in Chicago and beyond, this is Cognitive Dissonance. Every episode we blast anyone who gets in our way. We bring critical thinking, skepticism, and irreverence to any topic that makes the news, makes it big, or makes us mad. It's skeptical, it's political, and there is no welcome mat. This is episode 683. Of cognitive dissonance.
It might be 684. I'm
not
sure.
Or maybe not.
I don't know what.
The numbering has gotten way more difficult.
The tough part is like we record ahead of time. So like, yeah. I don't know. Like we said 684 on another episode, but I don't know if it's going to release tomorrow or not.
Wait,
so it could be 683, 684 is money.
Right.
It could be 683 and 684 are backwards.
Right.
But hey,
let me try.
A thing.
This is episode 684.
I'm turning on my light too.
So this is episode 685.
It doesn't matter, right?
Who knows?
Just say whatever.
Listen, does it fuck it? Like I fucked this up so many times.
Nobody cares. We should just
you're
from
listening
now on,
to
we
it.
Should think of Thank a way to say welcome to this week's episode.
You know how we can say that? Welcome to this week's
but
episode.
You got
to
be like, today is blah, blah, blah. Or
yeah,
something.
I still got to give some chronology. There's
got to be something in there where you're
all
like,
right, I'll figure
it
out. I will rewrite 680 it. Episodes
rewrite
in.
It. Rewrite it, Tom.
I
Maybe
will rewrite a piece of the intro.
We'll start doing that.
Yeah, I don't want to jump.
700's coming up on us, man. We're before the end of the year. We'll
this new format burns.
It burns episodes.
Burns episodes, man.
Episodes. So 700's
we are cranking. It almost
right
feels
through.
Like it goes 50% faster.
Do we celebrate? It's actually three quarters. It's three extra.
That's true.
But we do only count two extras.
Because one's for patrons.
One's just
count.
For patrons. Yeah. Do we go crazy on 700 or 777? Because we did 666.
Oh, lucky 777.
Right. Yeah.
I feel like, if the world were a better place, 777 would be a great show to do live from Vegas.
Live from Vegas. Yeah.
I mean.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah. Or Atlantic City, one or the other.
Vegas.
Same thing.
You said Vegas.
They're exactly the same place, so it doesn't matter.
Dr. Martin Luther King, the apostle of nonviolence in the civil rights movement, has been shot to death in Memphis, Tennessee.
All right, so this story comes from Vice. The GOP kicked Justin Jones out of the Tennessee House. 2 days later, he's back. Not only is back, but this backfired.
Oh, God.
So anyone who didn't follow this story, Tennessee lawmaker, representative, three of them actually. Justin Jones. I forgot the other two names.
His name is Justin.
And then
Jones.
There was a woman. I think last name Johnson.
Yeah, and Justin Pearson is the other one.
That's right. And I think there was a woman last name.
She
last
was
name
not
was
expelled.
She was not expelled.
She just took part in this protest.
But they held a vote to expel her, and it missed by one vote. So what happened is essentially there was a big anti-gun protest that took place. And it was brought into the House in Tennessee, and these representatives were leading and in front of that demonstration. So there's a fairly big demonstration, and it was a mild act of civil disobedience is what it was. So the Speaker of the House kept trying to call them down and say, hey, we're not talking about that. We're talking about this. We're trying to talk about everything other than gun control.
Sure.
And these people, every time—
That's the Republican playbook.
That's the Republican
anyway.
Playbook, yeah. Right? So they were following it. And they weren't giving the Democrats an opportunity to talk about gun control at all, even though there was just this recent terrible massacre in Nashville. Yeah. And so, you know, they felt compelled by their constituents to push the issue of gun control. And every time they had an opportunity to speak, they asked to be recognized. They were recognized. They tried to talk about gun control. The speaker shut them down. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a different bill. Then there was this big protest that was brought into the House. And because of that, in an act of just absolutely naked partisan retribution,
That's a great way to put it.
Right?
Yeah.
The Republicans were like, all right, for only the third time since the Civil War in American history, we are going to vote to expel you. To basically, like, take a duly elected representative and kick them out.
Yeah.
To force, and they did this for three members of Congress, or of the representatives, yeah, rather, the local House of Representatives. Two of them were kicked out.
Yeah.
One of them survived that vote by one vote.
Yeah, the two black guys.
Vote. Yeah, shockingly.
Two black guys
got kicked the fuck out.
Two black guys didn't make it. The woman did, however. Yep. But they, this is, you're absolutely right. It was, I think this was a huge misstep on their part.
Oh my God, yeah.
I feel like they were backed into a corner and had to do something, and this was the action that they decided to take. But it was a brazen show of power.
Yep.
They have a super majority, so it doesn't even matter, right? Like, they're not going to do anything about anything anyway, period. Tennessee's never going to change its gun laws except for, like, how many times you say Yahoo after you get one. So I don't know. I mean, nothing's going to happen.
There is the important question of whether you have to root and toot.
Yeah, no, yeah.
You know, so.
How many shots do I have to shoot myself up in the air like fucking Yosemite Sam after I, but really genuinely nothing's going to change. So you might as well listen to it. Who cares? You know, it's like one of those things where a lot of times we'll catch hell when we amplify a small voice,
mm-hmm,
and we'll say that somebody says something terrible and people will say, man, why are you covering this idiot? There's no reason to cover them. They're small. It doesn't matter. And, you know, a lot of times we'll say things like, well, it's indicative of a larger argument, you know, et cetera. Right. But, you know, there is some truth to pouring gas on that fire, bringing listens to that person, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%.
And, you know, this went so bad for them in so many ways. You know, it ignited the young vote. These are two young men. These are two young men. 24 years old, I think, was one of them or both of them. Very young men.
Yep.
When the guy was given a speech, I was reminded of Martin Luther King, to be honest with you. The cadence that he was using,
mm-hmm,
was very similar to that really great speech that he gave. There's two or three speeches that he gave.
Great order, great, thoughtful speaker.
Gave a first one on the floor before he got kicked out. Called every Republican out
about
all their bad things that they're doing. Said one of them is inappropriate with other people or something, sexual misconduct, pointing financial misconduct out in different people, pointing out felonies in other people, et cetera, et cetera. So he was going on and on and on. And then they brought him back and there's a full 2 minutes of him saying, you know, you tried to kick us out of the house, but we brought freedom back to this house. And, you know, what's so great is how in charge this guy is.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like these two guys are going to go really far, if not in Tennessee politics, in the United States politics.
Well, and like, you're exactly right. They done fucked up. Like, the Republicans fucked up, because what should have happened, whether you have a suit, strategically speaking, right? What should happen, of course, in the shoulds, is they should do something about motherfucking gun control. Right, that's what actually should.
If you're gonna do something, maybe start at the problem.
Right, but if you're a monster who cares more about gun lobbyists than you do about human lives, in other words, a Republican, strategically, what they should have done is they should have, in the middle of all this like protest, they should have adjourned the session.
Sure,
they should just close down the opportunity for them to speak, adjourned the session, and refuse to reopen the session until the protesters left. So, to your point, don't put any fuel on the fire. Don't give it oxygen.
Yeah.
Strategically, that would have been wiser. What they did instead is they tried to flex, right? And I think they tried to flex because they probably misunderstood the strength of their support and what this was going to do. What ended up happening, and so in other words, I think they did it for their constituents, for the Republican. Like,
yeah.
We'll kick them out. We'll kick them out.
I also very much think there is a lot of white supremacy racism
for sure
that plays out in this that, you know, you don't get to talk like that here.
Mm-hmm.
And they probably say boy at the end of that.
You
know what I mean?
I do, dude. I was thinking the same thing. I think they feel,
you know, I can't speak for their state of mind, but you can speak for the rashness of their actions. And the rashness of their actions makes me think they were angry about this.
Yeah.
And you don't just get angry because somebody else has a differing opinion on guns. You get angry because someone is stepping out of place where you mm-hmm. think they belong.
Absolutely.
That's how it appears. And here's the thing. Maybe none of them thought it, but that's how it looks from the outside.
And that's exactly the thing. Strategically, they fucked this whole thing up because Gen Z is political. Gen Z is turning out to vote.
Yeah.
Gen Z is motivated. Like Gen X fucking failed, right? Yeah. Gen X, we failed to show the fuck up. The millennials, they failed to show the fuck up in numbers. Gen Z's showing up. Gen Z is motivated. Gen Z is political. Gen Z is excited. They took something that should have been a local story that got buried in the Tennessee Herald or whatever, you know, the Tennessean, and they turned it into a national story.
Yeah.
They turned something that never should have gotten any national attention into this great big, you know, on the fucking front page of the Times, national story that's going to do nothing but motivate Democrats when they see the tyranny of the right in local, like we talked about several times, in these sort of local political scenes.
This is a state election.
Right.
And I saw a figure that by 2024 election, 16 million new Gen Zs will be eligible to vote.
And they fucking vote.
16 million new voters possible.
And I'll say this, and I know this is anecdotal nothing, but it's kind of fun in my own house. My stepson is 17 in June. And because of when his birthday falls, he'll be able to register and vote. You can register and vote before your 18th birthday, depending on when your birthday falls. He will be voting in the next presidential election. And he is excited to do it. And so were his friends. So were his peers. There is an energy and a political energy, and he's well informed. That's the other thing.
Sure.
This kid is better informed at 17 than I was at 17.
Sure.
And these kids are motivated, they're excited, they've got an energy underneath them. Doing shit like this on issues that Gen Z cares about, and then a bunch of fucking like old white dudes flexing power on young people of color is a bad fucking look, man. This is a bad look. And there are a lot of states that are in play. I think more states will be in play in our next election than have ever been in play. I really believe that. I think that the abortion wedge issue is going to take all those purple states and make them far more viable than they've ever been. You just look at that recent election in Wisconsin. It was a crushing election. It was like the Wisconsin Supreme, it wasn't even close, like 15 points.
And Wisconsin has been leaning red for a long time.
Yeah, it's gerrymandered hard red. It's hard to accomplish anything blue in Wisconsin. So I really think they fucked up on the abortion issue bad. They fucked that so hard. Yep.
They caught the car and they couldn't let it go.
That's right.
And what's going to happen? And in Gen Z, I think when you see the way that the people reacted here, a lot of this also makes them look like the last gasp of their party.
Yes.
It very much makes them look weak. And again, you're not going to, you know, they are the party of toxic masculinity.
Yeah, man.
And you know what I mean? Like, if you start looking weak to your own party, you now have disaffected voters on your own side.
Yep. Yeah, you can't. And that's a great point. I think one of the big problems with the way the right has, and it wasn't always this way, but really the way the right has built themselves and marketed themselves and messaged themselves.
And how they've cultivated these votes.
Yeah, it's so precarious.
Yeah.
They're on a fucking razor's edge on everything.
Yeah.
Right? On everything. Because they've really created this sort of like environment of like internal violence.
Yeah.
And this environment of like eating anything that isn't exactly what they want. It's just this reactionary, aggressive kind of trolling. That shit is going to come back on them. It's going to come back on them so hard.
But the problem is that they're keeping all the money at the top. There's just very few people who have money. There's not a lot of, you know, housing prices are through the roof. People can't buy houses. They can't even rent in certain places. There's, you know, massive inflation. We're going to see, I think, a lot of this, you know, a lot of the things that could happen here in the sense that, you know, you lost everybody. You lost everybody by not allowing them to even just have a crumb.
Yep.
And you fucked up hardcore.
Absolutely.
You've subjugated how many different, like at this point, it's like three generations.
Yeah. And the newer, younger generation is not willing to eat the same kinds of shit that Gen X ate. Like speaking from experience, like Gen X.
Millennials ate a lot of shit too.
Oh yeah. But I mean like we were really taught, I think, that we were supposed to eat it.
Sure.
Yeah. I think we were taught that like what gets you out of it is a strong work ethic and all, you know, like pay your dues and, you know, all this sort of stuff. Like, young people don't buy that story anymore.
Yeah.
They are not interested in that story. They're not interested in, you know, work your ass off for 30 years from the ground up, grind for 60 hours a week. No. And that's the, like, that whole like rise and grind shit. That stuff is like, that's that mentality.
Yeah, that's our, that's ours. We own that.
That's what I'm saying.
We own that.
That's a trash mentality that nobody else buys.
We own that. I think we're the last ones to own that.
Yeah.
But I also think too, you know, there's been some stuff that pops up on LinkedIn sometimes that, you know, you'll see shared in different boards. And some of it is very, you know, the making fun of these newer kids who are like going out to get jobs and they're asking about work-life balance. And they're like, I told the kid to leave the interview. I wasn't going to hire him. Like, you're not going to have anybody to take
your job.
To hire. You'll never get anybody to take that job. You've got to change how you think about work. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, like the boomer Gen Z millennials that are in charge, they've got to change how they, because just because you got there like this doesn't mean that that's how they want to work.
Absolutely.
And so they got to think about it too. So yeah, absolutely. There's a, it's a, there's a change of coming and it there's, feels good. I think this is, you know, even though this was a bad story that happened, all the repercussions from this, because they got immediately got reappointed, right? So they get kicked out of there and they immediately get reappointed. And then there'll be a special election again for them because
they're going to win it by a mile.
Now you've ignited the voters. I think one of these people, they won by an, a ridiculous margin where they were from. So there's no way that they're going to lose again.
Right.
So they just kicked him out just for funsies.
Yeah. And they, well, they kicked him out for funsies and created a national firestorm.
Did him wrong.
And protests continued as the Supreme Court may soon take up the issue of racial segregation.
Holy shit, is this big news. This is from the AP. Democratic senators urged Chief Justice to probe Thomas's trips. This is Clarence Thomas. So
I want to put this in the big screen just so I could do this really quick.
All right.
Womp, womp. the pictures, every picture of him, he's the frowniest dude you've ever seen.
He is a frowny frog of a fuck, isn't he?
But this story is everything.
This is everything.
Yep. You know, the amount of money, and basically he's been taking these luxury trips. When I say luxury, I don't mean you or me luxury.
No.
I mean billionaire luxury.
Yeah, these are six-figure value trips.
These are expensive, but he's taking them on this billionaire and he's a friend. So he's staying at this billionaire's property sometimes and the billionaire might be there or the billionaire might not be there. He's taking his yacht. Sometimes the billionaire's on the yacht. Sometimes the billionaire's not on the yacht. And so he doesn't feel like, since it's a friend thing, he doesn't feel like he needs to report it. But here's the thing, you know, normal people in the world, if like you and I have bought each other dinner many times, right? Buy each other dinner. You know, it might even be an expensive dinner. Tom might be a couple hundred dollar dinner and one of us will buy it for the other person. Or you may come over if I invite friends over and you might bring me a bottle of whiskey. And that bottle of whiskey could range between $100 and $150, right? You could be like, thanks for having me over, Cecil. You know, thanks for having me and my wife over. Here's a bottle of Blanton's. I know it's hard to get now. Here's a $125 bottle of Blanton's. I would think that would be an amazing gift.
Right, yeah.
I'd be like, wow. We've been friends for a very long time, 25 years. We've been friends more, maybe even longer at this point. I think it's 25 plus.
Yep.
We've been friends. I would think that would be an excessive gift from you.
Right.
I could not imagine somebody basically gifting me a $500,000 vacation.
Yeah, man. This is
first off, I can't even imagine what a $500,000 vacation is.
I know.
Like that, the amount of the obscene amount of money to have a $500,000 vacation gifted to you, that's absurd to not have to think that you should report that. That's an ethics violation.
It is. Well, it
fuck
should be.
This guy.
The thing is that there are no real hard ethics rules and ethics teeth for Supreme Court justices.
No ethics in the Supreme Court is what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly. And like a couple of things that are real important to know about this is, you know, this is not just a billionaire, but this is a billionaire political activist.
Absolutely, absolutely.
This is one of, this guy is an absolute political activist also, and has been forever.
I think we should all just agree that all billionaires are political activists.
All billionaires are political activists. I mean,
there's not one of them that's apolitical.
That's very, very, very true.
Yeah.
You know, and the other really important thing to note is he like Clarence Thomas says, well, I've been doing this for 25 years. We've been close friends for 25 years. Motherfucker, you've been on the Supreme Court for 31 years, which means he's been buying you. You were a Supreme Court justice for 6 years before this guy started buying you. It would be different if it was a friend of yours from before you were a fucking Supreme Court justice.
If he's been taking you on these trips since you were 17.
Right. If this was like a family friend who always took you out on these trips your whole life, and he just didn't stop when you became a Supreme Court. This didn't start until you'd been a Supreme Court justice for a half a decade plus. What the fuck do you think he made friends with you for? That we know this, like, literally the same thing happened when that pastor guy decided intentionally that he was going to go out of his way to worm his way into the social circle of Supreme Court justices in order to influence and get information on their decision-making. And he fucking did it. He absolutely did it. Like, what do you think they're sucking your dick for? You know what I mean?
He said,
why do you think they're there? Their fucking mascara's running for a reason, asshole.
I mean, seriously, like, do you not realize the kind of power you wield?
Right.
Like, do you not understand that? Because if you don't understand that, maybe we need somebody else in there.
Yeah.
We need somebody, we really genuinely, I 100% I think this, you know, I say this with hyperbole, but I kind of mean it. Sequester these motherfuckers. You get 3 years as a fucking Supreme Court justice or 4 years as Supreme Court justice. We'll set it up so that it's alternating, yada, yada, yada. So not one fucking president picks you all. Maybe one picks all the blues and one picks all the reds or however the fuck it works out. But you know what? Make it so that fucking these people are sequestered by themselves for 4 years. You want to do this fucking job? You want to do this job? You get 4 years to do it and you don't get to fucking hang out with anybody.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. Do you really want it? Do you really want to do this? Let's see how fucking how many people really want to do this. How many people love the law that much? I'll tell you what, if I had the law on one side and a $500,000 vacation that went along with it, I'd be down.
I would
too. I'd be fucking down.
A $500,000 vacation every year. For 25 years.
Not, you're right. It's not like this is a one-time deal.
No.
This is over and over and over again. And he's staying in these luxury places all over the world.
Yep. Places he cannot himself afford. He gets to live a life.
He's not a $500,000 salary a year or something like that.
Wait, no, I think he's like 280, isn't he? Oh, like 280?
Okay. Sure. I was guessing. I don't know.
Yeah, I think
with inflation, maybe it's more.
I'm not saying that being a Supreme Court justice isn't a profitable job, but it's not.
But like, it's not profitable enough to do the things he's doing.
Right. He's living. He gets to live well outside his means because of a buddy that he made after he became a Supreme Court justice that also happens to be a political activist. And you're trying to sell me that that friendship.
Yeah.
Does, like, the thing is, like, if you are exactly your point, if you are a Supreme Court justice, you should not be able to accept gifts of any kind, of any amount at all. And I mean this from anyone. We need, like, your mom can't buy you Christmas presents anymore. That's it. It should be a kind of unpalatable job. We make these jobs too fucking palatable. And they attract people then who want the job for all the accoutrement and fringe benefits of the job.
Yeah, man.
For the glory of the power. We should make wielding that power come with deeper sacrifices than the power itself. So that only people who are responsible and truly altruistic want to accept that job.
Yeah.
But instead we do the opposite. We turn it into this fucking dick sucking contest for these guys. And who doesn't want to be the judge of a dick sucking contest? Right?
Yes, that's true.
Like, that's a great job.
Feels like a good job. I think I've seen that show before. Anyway, no, but the other thing too is like, we know about the vacation.
Right. What don't we know about? Because I'll tell you what, that's a great point. We didn't know about it for 25 years.
We didn't know 25 years he's been taking vacations on a billionaire's. What else has been happening for 25 years that he has failed to report?
Yep.
What else has he gotten?
And what else is Ginny getting? Because we know Ginny's a bad actor.
And let me tell you something. It's not just Clarence Thomas.
No, man.
It's not just, because the other one that was getting fucking wined and dined by a preacher was Alito.
That's right.
So we know it's not just one guy that's able to be infiltrated by somebody else and manipulated by somebody else. We know that's not true. So it's like, and shit, if it's the fucking Democrat ones on there.
Fuck them.
Fuck them.
Fuck them forever.
Fuck 'em. Shoot them with fucking trebuchet.
Yep. That's it.
Right out of the court. Use the highest court in the land, which is a basketball court, and fucking dunk them. Just like fucking between your legs, fucking behind the back, 360, dunk them, and they're out of the court. And that's it. Get them gone. Because I do not want corrupt people in government, period. I don't care where in government that is. I don't care if it's dog catcher or Supreme Court. Get out of government if you're corrupt.
Yeah,
there's plenty of things you could do as a corrupt person.
Yeah.
Go do those things.
Go do those things.
Yeah.
I literally don't care what you do if you're corrupt. Like, why also do we not have an oversight or ethics board for one of the most important?
That's insane to me. It's the most important thing we do.
Did you not think that we did? I thought until recently.
I thought we did too.
I thought, well, of course you would. Structurally, You would have to create that or you'd be an asshole.
Yeah.
And the idea that we just were like, well, because they're the highest court in the land, we can't put anything higher than them. It's like, you can put something adjacent.
Did you shake hands? Though? Did you shake hands and say, I totally wouldn't? Because that's basically what it feels like.
Yeah,
right,
man. I did make a pinky promise.
I did say I wasn't ever going to do it, but
well,
I did it. Sorry.
I mean, the problem is though, that while a powerful, powerful tool, I then was forced the other way by a double dog dare.
Yeah, sure.
The double dog dare clearly trumps my promise to
I
you.
I just want Jolene to go slash all their tires. That's what I want.
So, ever heard of Code Glory? It's an Adam and Eve promo code where you get 50% off almost any one item with 10 sexy twists. Try Code Glory for yourself and watch 6 free spicy movies. Get 3 free gifts and free shipping beyond your wildest dreams. And rush processing. Join in on the fun at Adam and Eve. Who shut off the music?
Gary, what are you doing?
I'm moonlighting. You don't let me in the ads anymore.
I'm supposed to be doing the ads now.
I haven't been in 1 month.
I know, because people get creeped out about you.
No, they're scared of my natural heat.
No, you have the sex appeal of a Quiznos hamster.
You mean a spung monkey, and if you want to spung your monkey...
Stop, we're getting complaints.
Are they complaining about savings when they use code GLORY at adamandeve.com? I don't think so.
No, they're complaining about you affecting their mood.
Look, I'm the only one who cares about the exploited proletariat, and I'm trying to give back to people with this promo code so they get 50% off a plastic dick.
That's not all they have.
Or other sexy items.
Right. That's what I'm trying.
Available at adamandeve.com.
Yep. Use code GLORY.
So what's the problem?
Nobody wants to get busy with all that in their ear.
Okay, so what do you recommend?
I don't know, man. Maybe you just need a different approach.
Okay, I got an idea. Do you hate waiting in lines at the post office?
No, that's not what I mean.
Then why not go use code GLORY at adamandeve.com and get a fucking big dildo or pocket pussy?
Gary.
What?
Use code GLORY.
That's better.
When did you move to Florida?
Oh, God, this is so depressing.
We got to talk about these when they happen, though. Yeah. Like, so here's the thing. Genuinely, I almost didn't put it in because I don't really have anything. I just want to be honest with the audience. I don't have anything new to say.
Yeah.
I'm going to say things you've heard me say. You're probably going to say similar things to what you've been saying. But I just think we should never let up on it.
Yeah, we should always cover these.
We should never let up. So this story is from Jezebel. Florida woman denied abortion, miscarried in hair salon bathroom, lost half of her blood. So this woman is only 15 weeks along, so not very far along out of a 40-week pregnancy. And her bags ruptured. So she lost pretty much all of the amniotic fluid. And if that happens late in the pregnancy, and it's a small leak, because I've had people that I've worked with that have had this recently. So, and it's a small leak, then it could be viable. There's still a lot of risk for infection. There's still a lot of risk for premature birth. There's still a lot of risks associated. But 15 weeks in, and the poor lady lost essentially all of the fluids, the amniotic fluids. So what the typical procedure will be then at that point is to do an abortion, right? Because there's no longer a viable pregnancy. Yeah. The chances of a viable pregnancy are essentially zero.
What's going to happen is you're going to miscarry.
Right.
So instead of you miscarrying, let's just do it ahead of time and make sure you're safe while it happens. Basically, we're going to induce a miscarriage.
Right. That's precisely. Yeah. But so she went to the hospital, and the hospital's like, well, here's what we would do if everything wasn't fucking insane. Yeah.
I can't help you now.
We can't help you. The nurse said, I'll pray for you. Yeah. Guys, the nurse said, I will pray for you.
Awesome.
They sent her home.
Thanks.
They sent her home, and she ends up at the hair salon, ends up miscarrying in the bathroom of the fucking hair salon. Her husband had to separate the placenta with his fucking hands.
He had to tear it apart with his hands.
Thank you. The umbilical cord. Tear it with his hands. She lost half of her blood volume. She damn
like
near fucking died.
That feels like a lot.
That's a lot,
like,
dude.
Feels like you should feel real lucky if you lose a half of your blood.
And none of this had to happen.
None of it. Not a bit of it.
They're creating emergencies.
Yeah. And when the people who make laws in the state of Florida were asked about this, they had said they don't want to put a law in there that gives people a blanket to just go have this done, because they were saying, well, what about this thing? What about this syndrome that happens? It's like, I'm going to find it now. PP ROM is what it is. And that's when the amniotic sac breaks. So that's what the acronym is of it. And so this happened to this person.
Yeah.
And they were saying, well, what about if you put some sort of clause
right.
in your laws that at least protects people against this? And they're like, well, we don't want to leave an opening like that. Like, no,
it's
we're not going to.
It's fucking insane.
That. No, we're not going to. It's disgusting. It's grotesque.
It is.
And it's, this is again, you were talking about it just a few minutes ago when we were talking about the younger voters. This doesn't fly
no.
with younger people. There's a lady by the name of Joy Reid. She has a show on MSNBC. And sometimes when my wife and I eat dinner, we'll have MSNBC on in the background. And, you know, so we're watching the day. My wife's actually been working late. So I was eating by myself and watching. And she had on an anti-abortion activist on.
Okay.
She normally doesn't do that. It's normally it's a show a lot like this where it's
preaching
to the choir. But she had on a person who is an anti-abortion person. And so they started talking. And Joy Reid fucking ate her alive. Like, this poor person was like, because Joy Reid was like, this is a very unpopular policy. You are basically saying there's a vast majority of Americans don't want this. What do you say to those Americans? And this lady was trying to talk about Margaret Sanger and eugenics. Like she was,
get out.
She's saying, you know, well, you know, actually, to be honest, it's problematic. The history of abortion is very problematic because of eugenics. And if you know anything about Margaret Sanger, and Joy stops her, she says, I don't think a lot of people know who Margaret Sanger is. And I guarantee you that the people seeking medical care don't care about eugenics either.
Right.
We're talking about a very specific thing here. And this person really just, all they wanted to do was get their talking points off.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, I think there's a crowd that works for, but I also recognize nowadays that there is a group of people that are trying to sell us this anti-abortion stuff as if this is the right thing to do.
Yeah.
And they are getting met by more and more and more people who were on their side before and who will not be on their side for this particular thing. I think they're going to hemorrhage voters over this.
I think this is going to be crushing.
Yeah.
I really do. I think this is going to be crushing. There is no tolerance for this from young people. Young people have no fucking tolerance for that nonsense. They see past the bullshit.
Yeah.
They see, like, I love the pragmatism that is, I think, part of the youth right now. Like, they want to see people get some shit done.
Sure.
They are uninterested. There is a growing disinterest that you can just see and sense and read. And the young people now with these talking point filled bullshit sloganization nonsense. There's just like, what have you done? What are you doing about climate change? Yeah. When is it? Tell me when the carbon footprint of the United States is going to reach this number. Tell me what your plan is. Well, we believe in it. I don't give a fuck. What's your plan? I'm tired of getting shot up in my schools. What's your plan? I'm tired of not having women have access to medical care. What's your plan?
Yeah.
Show me.
Yeah.
There's like a pragmatism and an urgency that I feel
from these folks. There's got to be an urgency because, you know, when it comes to climate change, when it comes to these types of things, you know, you're going to start to see people start dying from these things.
Yeah. This lady damn near died.
This lady almost died because she couldn't get the medical care she needed.
Yeah. And can you imagine? Like, she didn't die, but it's not a good story. It's a fucking trauma.
It's a fucking tragedy.
Traumatic as fuck.
Think about this. She had to miscarry in a fucking public bathroom.
Yeah, man.
She had to have her husband help her miscarry.
Yep.
What could have been hey, lay down here. We're going to take care of this for you. Here's a Valium or whatever it is that makes you not care or whatever, and we just do this thing to you, and then you leave and maybe you're sore for a day, but you're not in this traumatic situation where you have to be confronted with all these things that are happening. You not only lost your baby, but you lost it in a public place with your husband. I mean, like, this is a horror. This is a literal horror. It's terrible.
Yeah, and she should have been able to contend with the loss of a pregnancy she wanted.
Yeah.
Because she wanted this pregnancy from the story. She should have been able to direct her emotional and mental energy to that. Instead, she had to face her own mortality.
Yeah, exactly.
And why are we forcing women to face both the loss of a wanted and desired pregnancy, which is a trauma of their own, but then to also force them to contend with their own mortality in the same moment?
It's a punishment.
It's exactly right.
It's a punishment.
Choose Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat, Instagram, and a thousand other ways to spew your bile across people you never met.
This story comes from NPR. NPR quits Twitter after being falsely labeled as state-affiliated media.
This guy, fucking
Jesus,
hell,
Elon
man.
Elon Musk fucks up with both hands so often. What a piece of fucking shit Elon Musk is. Genuinely. What an absolute piece of fucking shit Elon Musk
is. They labeled it, they first labeled it state-run media. Then they labeled it like state-affiliated media. They tried to roll it back a couple times.
What if we use a slightly different adjective? Still an accurate adjective?
NPR is funded by listeners.
Yeah.
Like, it's only funded by the public broadcasting company and then, like, viewers like you, man. It's not funded. It's like 1% comes from the government. It's a tiny, tiny amount comes from the government. It's funded by people. It's like, and the problem is there's no way that Elon Musk would know that. There's no way that he needs to know that. And the only reason he's doing this is because he's trolling people because he thinks it makes him look cool.
Yeah, 100%.
He thinks it makes him look cool to the Twitter troll crowd.
Yep.
And those are the ones hearting all his tweets and making him fluffing his ego up to make him think that he's... I mean, we talked about it on the show before in one of our deep dives, but they're redesigning Twitter so he's part of the algorithm.
Yeah.
Now.
So I mean, anything he says gets amplified.
Yeah. They're making this his mouthpiece. And thank goodness people with journalistic integrity are walking away. A couple weeks ago, he took the New York Times' blue checkmark away.
What? I didn't hear about that.
Yeah. So he took their blue checkmark away.
Did they not pay their $8?
They wouldn't pay it.
I read a story a week or three ago. That if you as a journalist, as a press person or whatever, like if you reach out to Twitter, you get responded with a poop emoji. They don't reply to press requests for information. So that's their standard. Their standard really is an auto reply really of a fucking shit emoji.
I'm glad that's where we're at.
That's where we're at.
Discourse.
And like, there was just a story I think I sent to you this morning.
You have a responsibility, morning. Man.
Yeah, man.
Like, this is not a small platform.
It's a huge...
This isn't a private Discord. This is a huge platform, a worldwide platform with millions of users.
Yep, and this is the bullhorn of the world. Twitter really is the bullhorn of the world.
That's outrageous.
And when press reaches out, they get an auto reply of a shit emoji.
That's outrageous.
That's all they get. Yeah. So you can't actually reach out to their media contact as a media personnel and engage a conversation or request. You just get a shit emoji back because it's a fucking, he is personifying that troll culture, right? But like, and also I sent you a story like a day or two ago, just personally, that, you know, the leaked government documents, which are a pretty big deal. The leaked government documents are all over Twitter. And Twitter is like, and we're just not going to take some of them down. And they could.
Yeah.
We know they can.
Yeah.
And we know they can. And it's sort of like when I went on and on about the Facebook nipple. Like, if you want to know, like, can they? This is not a tech issue. This is not a can you do it issue. Because when they wanted to get rid of shit that makes Elon Musk mad. Oh, I want to go on Twitter and talk about my Mastodon account. Oh, that gets taken down. I want to go on Twitter and talk about my Substack blog. That shit gets taken down. I want to go on Twitter and post literally classified military documents pertaining to the unjust invasion of Ukraine.
They have every app.
And Twitter's like, less shrug.
Sorry.
Maybe it doesn't violate our TOS.
Sorry, I got Matt Taibbi and I are sword fighting with our dicks. Right
now. Right.
So we're going to do that instead.
We're crossing the streams to make an airplane.
Evidently, Taibbi got taken down about that dumb fucking Twitter thread.
Oh my God,
the Twitter files thing.
There's nothing there.
He basically got a, he had an hour long debate with this guy, and I watched part of it. And Taibbi. Every time the guy brought up something, Taibbi just stuttered and like he to me it looked like he lost. That's what it felt like.
Okay.
To me. I didn't watch the whole thing, but to me it looked like he lost. He didn't have anything in that anyway. I mean, when we read through it and we looked at all the stuff, they're trying to take down dick pics. I don't know what you're after, but anyway, they were. It was funny too because one of the first things this guy says to Taibbi, because Taibbi was saying, you know, his argument was, well, the government is controlling this mouthpiece and they're taking things down. And the first thing the guy says, he's like, well, Joe Biden wasn't part of the government at that point.
Right.
He wasn't actually elected at that point.
Right.
He just reached out to say this was revenge porn. What do you think of that? And Taibbi's like, Abba, 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 Abba.
Well,
because he wasn't part of the government. He was in any part of the government at that point.
No, Trump was in charge at that point.
But instead, they like, and so it's just this, but anyway, that sort of blew up. But now there's a fight between Musk and Taibbi because of the Substack thing. That's where Taibbi makes his money.
Right.
And he can't link his Substack account anymore. So he's going to leave Twitter after he laptop.
Right. Well, how funny is that, right? Because that kind of has that same like narcissist syndrome as Trump, right? Where all of your lackeys eventually get burned.
Yeah.
Like all of Trump's like lapdog lackey fucking bootlickers, eventually they all end up eating shit. Because at the end of the day, nobody matters to Musk other than Musk.
Yeah, no.
At the end of the day, there's nothing more important than Musk. There's no loyalty.
Yeah.
I think you said red hot pussy seltzer.
This story, I fucking love this story from Newsweek. Kid Rock promotes new seltzer with ties to transgender partnership. So
I want to put this same picture up because you can see, here's the Instagram picture of him holding his hard seltzer with these two dudes at like a UFC thing or whatever to talk about this hard seltzer.
Who the fuck are those people?
I don't know. To be honest, I have no idea. But in any case, I think he's at a UFC thing when this was taken. And so essentially they're like, a bunch of people were like, hey man, Caitlyn Jenner was their spokesperson for a little while.
Yeah.
So I know you made a big show out of shooting Bud Light with a AK-47 because you're mad that they talked about transgender people in a positive way. And so now you want to go out and prove you're non-woke or I don't even know, asleep. I don't know what that is. But in any case, he went out and shot a bunch of shit up. And this is what's happening is a bunch of people are like, there was a video of a guy, he had like this big pole barn, and he goes out to his pole barn and he dumps all his Bud Light into a garbage can, and then he slides a thing of Coors Light into his thing. and someone, you know, because it's always a duet, right? So someone took his video and did something with it. And then they put up there, the duet is, you know, the Coors Light pride flag.
Yeah,
because
Coors Light.
Almost every beer company has sponsored some pride event. Not because they care about pride events.
And that's exactly the point.
They do it because they want to sell beer at a pride event, guys. Yeah. They're doing it to sell goods. They don't care, man. But these guys somehow think they care. They don't care. They care as little as Kid Rock cares. Yes, they just want to make money.
Look. Black money is green. Hispanic money is green. White money is green. Yeah. Gay money is green. Trans money is green. All that money.
It's all green,
baby. It's fucking green, baby. And the thing, like, Kid Rock is a lying piece of hypocritical, disingenuous shit. He shot up a bunch of Bud Light. He doesn't give a shit about trans issues one way or the other. He doesn't actually care. He's not a villain for trans shit. He's a shill for right wingers because they're the people that buy his concert tickets and his fucking merch. Yeah. So all he's doing is performing this thing for people in order for them. Because look, he's been lying about his branding since day one. I think like it's worth saying he comes across a certain way as this lie, and he comes across because he says it.
Yeah.
He says like, I'm straight out of the trailer park. I'm just your truck driving, Bud Light drinking, rootin' tootin', hillbilly motherfucking redneck. He's not. He's a guy who grew up on a 6-acre home with rich millionaire parents that had their own private fucking tennis courts.
Yeah.
He's a rich fucking kid who came from a rich fucking family. That's who he is. All of this is a put up. All of this is a show. It's an act. It's a costume. This is a costume. He's wearing a fucking redneck costume to sell dummies themselves back to them. You stupid assholes. So like when he shoots up a bunch of Bud Light with an AR-15, he's selling your outrage back to you and you're buying it because you're stupid. You're a bunch of redneck right wing or a Borai.
Yeah.
That's what you are.
And because you palpably hate someone, he can market that.
Yes, he can leverage your hate.
He knows that you're easily manipulated because you're mad.
Yep.
And so all he's going to do is just manipulate the shit out of you. And to be honest, that's what all these corporations are doing too.
100%
anyway.
Of
They're
them.
Manipulating everybody by saying, oh, look at how nice we are. Look at how great we are. You know, they put out a commercial at fucking Christmas time with Folgers of, you know, a brother and sister, and they hug and you get a little tear in your eye when you're watching. You remember Folgers when you go to the fucking store, man.
That's it.
They don't care about brothers or sisters or anyone. They care about money.
Yep.
That's what they care about. They care about fucking manipulating you. That's all Kid Rock is doing. Hell, earlier in Kid Rock's career, he hung out with trans people because it was fucking popular for him to do that at the time because for him at the moment he was pushing boundaries and making money off a group of people that he was pushing boundaries for, and now he's again doing the same thing but for a different crowd to make a different buck. That's all it is. And then like these people this doesn't even matter to him. It literally doesn't matter. If this was me, or if you cared about something like this, like if you actually cared that you were somehow supporting something that supported trans people at some point. If you actually cared, you'd be freaking out at these guys. This is still on Instagram.
Yep.
He doesn't fucking care.
He doesn't give a shit.
He doesn't give a shit.
Never cared.
He doesn't fucking care Never at all. Cared. He's like, whatever, man. Don't just spell my name right. It's KIDROC.
It always amuses me because it's like,
isn't an ROC a big bird?
It is a big bird. Yeah, it is a big bird. ROC. It's IROC. I rock.
T tops on the I rock.
Corporations can't care.
They can't.
Like, they can't care. They don't care about you. They don't care about this issue. Yeah.
They don't care about any workers. Are you kidding
me? There's no caring. A corporation isn't a thing that has feelings. It can't have feelings. Like, the only corporations that might have some connection to an issue that is that is actually genuine would be a corporation where an individual person still owns most of that corporation. Sure. And the example that I would give is like the company Patagonia was owned by one guy. It was not like you couldn't buy shares. You still can't in Patagonia. It was owned by one guy. He's like, cool. I'm old. All of my profits now go to environmental causes. I believe in it. I've always donated a bunch of money to it. Now 100% of all the profits of my company go to environmental causes. I can look at a company like that and be like, all right, that's not bullshit.
Sure.
Because it's one guy.
Sure.
If I started a company,
sure,
I'm just Tom. No matter how big the company gets, unless I like cede control of the company to market share and to shares and make it a public. But as soon as all these companies are giant publicly traded monsters, there is no one actually in charge. There's groups of people in committees that are in charge of making money.
Yeah.
They're not in charge of caring about issues. Nobody's job at Coors is to wake up and say, what does Coors care about today?
There's one guy
who doesn't mean anything.
Once in a while totes a mission statement around.
Right.
And they don't care about it.
They don't care about him.
And they're like, whatever.
Right.
Go get us donuts.
Those guys, I can tell you from corporate experience, those guys are real easy to care about when the profits are high. Because they're a welcome, kind of amusing distraction, but all the real work of the company is driving profits because that's what companies exist to do.
Sure.
They don't exist to care about issues.
Yeah.
Like, all of that shit is lying to you. If you're like, well, I'm going to support this company because they really support trans people. No, they don't.
Yeah.
They don't support anything except for their bottom line.
Yeah. They want to make money off you, man. And then I think you just have to recognize that, right?
Right.
And I think that there is a difference between some companies actively trying to take people's rights away, like Chick-fil-A.
Or Hobby Lobby. Instance,
right? Or Hobby Lobby.
Yeah.
Those companies are different in a way because they are actively trying to take your rights away. They're not partnering with somebody who you disagree with. I mean, I guess they are in some ways partnering, but they're partnering with people who are actively trying to remove people's rights.
And I think, now I could be wrong, but I think that both of those companies are owned. They're not publicly traded companies.
They're
owned by his family.
And they're actively giving this profit away to something, right? So they're giving that money to something to make it so that it's worse for other people.
Right. I think when a person or a family specifically owns a company, they can use that company as a leverage point to perform certain types of activism. And that activism is sometimes good and sometimes bad. Yeah. And then I think that is a legitimate consideration. But like when you're looking at these publicly traded companies,
this mega corporation,
they don't,
whatever.
There's no
light.
Yeah.
Come on.
Get out of here. Yeah. Fucking, you think InBev gives a motherfucker about anything? They can't. They literally structurally cannot care.
She suffers from paranoia, delusions of persecution, and dislocation from reality.
So this story comes from Right Wing Watch. This is, we haven't had this guy on the show in a long time. Yeah. Lance Wallaby. He's going to be talking about God is soon going to start killing those who are persecuting Trump. And I thought, I believe you misspelled prosecutor.
He's going to be part of something soon, isn't he? Like, isn't he have another trial coming up soon? They Trump? Were saying, yeah, like a rape trial is coming up for him.
Yeah, he's got that Carol Jean King issue that's coming up. There is more than speculation at this point that Georgia may be ready to file charges.
Oh, man.
Like, it would be awesome if he just got fucking assailed from all sides.
Yeah.
Just from all sides. Like a fucking legal bukkake.
I did see. They're just fucking throwing tort law books in his face.
Just in his hair and stuff. Room. He's got
like fucking scrolls stuck in his hair.
His eyes are glued shut with amicus briefs.
He has to wear a powdered wig the whole time. No, but I saw another thing recently that said that his approval rating is starting to drop.
Yeah, I read it's just tanking
it's
completely.
Tanking
yeah.
hardcore now yeah. because of this. So this might be the thing that takes down Trump. Who knows?
Might be. Many, a lot of time
know.
Left on
Here's
the clock.
Here's the thing. Let's not count our chickens before they hatch. I think Lance is going to pray about it.
Oh, so, well, you know.
You know how that
Wait
goes.
A minute. He's not going to pray from a rooftop, is he? It? Is he? Because that does change things.
It does.
You're closer to God on the roof.
Why is the devil doing what the devil's doing? Because he's manifesting, because he knows he only has a limited time. He's Satan's whole Antichrist activity is him trying to consolidate control because he knows he's about to lose everything. So you have to really reinterpret what's going on in the news, watching what's happening with Donald Trump as we're praying into that. I believe this is the time. Maybe the election wasn't the time, but this is the time.
I love that God is like, when exactly should I care now? Hold on a second. I know he can be in power and they won't actually investigate him while he's the president, but I'm going to wait for a little while until he's not the president.
And then
I'm going to infuse him with the God power.
Also, what you just heard there was Lance acknowledging and then escaping from all of the prophecies he made come true.
Exactly. You're right? Exactly right. You're
He's
exactly
like, okay,
right.
You know, maybe it wasn't then, but now it's going to be the next time.
Maybe that's on me.
Yeah. Right? I know.
That's on me.
So I'm Harold Camping, and I think the end of the world is going to be... right?
Amazing.
For the imprecatory prayers, that would
the
be...
What?
The imprecatory prayers.
Imprecatory prayers?
Impregatory. Those are the prayers that Kelly, impregnate you.
Yeah, cream pie prayer here.
You got to get a birth controller or something. For
Can't
those.
Get Mephisto.
No, no.
Maybe the election wasn't the time, but this is the time for the imprecatory prayers that would be answered, which is going to be, may they fall into the pit that they have dug. Now, what would that look like? Well, it could be that there's such an outrageous backlash over the clear political persecution of an innocent political candidate that we're really...
Are you fucking serious?
An innocent political candidate.
That's the thing, though. Everybody on the right is treating him like that.
Yeah.
Everybody's treating it like this is an attack on just a regular guy.
Yeah, just a normal old Joe.
Like you can just not have anything at all and get somebody indicted.
Right. Just, you know,
we couldn't do anything with fucking the Mueller report.
No. Yeah, we didn't get anything done with the Mueller report. We didn't really get anything done with January 6th, and we almost certainly won't. But yeah, you know, it could happen. Cecil, could happen to anybody.
Could happen to anybody.
Fucks a porn star.
Yeah. Colludes with Russia.
You know, while his wife is pregnant or has just recently given birth and colludes with Russia and then pays her a bunch of hush money before, you know, Inside Edition or Access Hollywood talks about him sexually assaulting women because of his fame. And then, you know, he becomes elected. It could happen to anyone if those dominoes line up.
Christ,
you know what, Cecil? The little cage can fall on the mouse if the boot kicks the marble.
If
you know
I
what I
start
mean?
At the top with the bathtub
right.
and the marble.
Yeah. Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
You could turn around and it happened to you. You're, you know, remember that time you paid a six-figure hush money payment to a porn star to keep it out of the news before you're running for president? Well, that could come to light. And boy, wouldn't the egg be on your face, really? Random plumber.
I'd have to pay a lot for a porn star to touch me. That's a lot of money. That's hazard pay. Are you kidding me?
You know what? Cecil, that's what he paid for her not to talk about it.
Yeah.
What do you think he paid her to do it?
Oh, I don't know, man. I don't know.
That's the part. Yeah. That's the part that we're not.
Yeah.
Like no one is sort of interrogating. Is like, what'd you pay her to do it, man?
Yeah.
Like, because Stormy Daniels doesn't seem like she's just like into Trump, right? Right. So, what'd you pay her to do it, man? Like, and I also love that none of them are like, he didn't actually fuck that lady.
Yeah.
Like, they're not saying
that. At this point now, no, they're not.
Right.
Although, I guess he's denied it a couple
times. A few times, but the focus, never like, that never happened. Yeah. Why would I pay
what's
her
so crazy
if it never happened?
What's so crazy is like even with the group of people out there that are all saying, yeah, you don't have to worry about it, even if you paid her or whatever, blah, blah, blah. Even with all that happening, there's still this Christian right contingent that just fucking blindfolded the whole time.
Right.
It's insane.
Right.
Because they really went all in on Trump. They pushed all their chips in and they've got to fucking stay with it the whole time.
They
can't back down now.
Yeah.
And so now every misprophecy, every bad thing that happens, they gotta treat it as if it's the devil who's trying to attack a holy man.
Yeah, man. And it's so funny because these are the moral absolutists of the world. These are the guys who don't believe in the viability of moral gray area. These are moral, like the hard evangelical right are hard moral absolutists.
Yeah.
You would think that this kind of shit, because it would, this kind of shit would fall under the absolutely not category.
Yeah.
If this was a Democrat,
oh my God.
Are you kidding me?
Oh, no, yeah. Yeah.
Are you serious? Yeah. This would be the depravity and Jezebel's this and, you know, raptures that.
Well, he's had his way so bad with the Christian right. He should have to pay them $145,000.
Becoming like a Venezuela or a Soviet Union where we find a crime
just like it.
To lock up or assassinate our political rivals. The American people won't put up.
Doesn't he look like an angry bird here, kind of?
He does kind of look like an angry bird.
No, one of the pigs that they shoot?
Yeah.
One of those, I think.
It's the nose flare.
It's the nose flare. And the really eyebrows. It's the eyebrows.
Yes.
Right? So you get those eyebrows and the nose.
The only way to tell for sure is to put a little metal helmet on them.
With it. Now, the elites in Washington, well, they shrug their shoulders. They're half happy that this is happening. But I've been listening to prophecies lately about certain deaths.
And I've been listening to prophecies lately.
You know, not.
What is that, a podcast? What the fuck are you doing? What is happening?
Normally, when the prophecies come by, I'm like, hey, I don't have time for that shit. All right?
It's like, hold on a second. I'm watching. Look, man, it's the playoffs. I'm in the middle of something.
It's God here to tell. Hey, my shows are on. All right? I didn't DVR this.
I want to watch my story.
And it looks to me like there could be some sudden deaths coming in May.
Sudden deaths?
Sudden deaths.
To see some of the disciplinary hand of God come down upon those people.
Fucking bring it.
Standing in the path of what he wants to do. And I'm not talking about Democrats only. We have Republicans also.
So if anyone dies and they were either a Democrat or a Republican, my prophecy will come true.
So if any of our octogenarian lawmakers.
Right. If any, or anyone who is like anywhere in the justice system.
Yeah.
No, right. Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, you're right, Tom. If any of those people go.
If there's a death of either a Democrat or a Republican in May, my prophecy came true. All right. So here's what's going to happen. Someone's going to die in 2023 and it will be either a man or a woman. One or the other.
Well,
pretty sure about
that's
that.
That's great. No, you nailed it.
So if that happens, hashtag God.
Nailed it, Lance. Idiot. Okay, so that's going to wrap it up for this week. We aren't going to have anything special this week. I don't know if this releases when the other stuff came out afterwards. I don't know when stuff happens.
We've made it so complicated.
There'll either be a special show this week or there won't. So either A or B, just check your feed on Thursday. If there isn't, then great. And patrons, I know for sure at the end of the month, you'll be getting a special show. All right. So that's going to wrap it up for this week. We're going to leave you like we always do with Skeptic's Creed.
Credulity is not a virtue. It's fortune cookie cutter, mommy issue, hypno Babylon bullshit. Couched in scientician, double bubble, toil and trouble, pseudo quasi alternative, acupunctuating, pressurized, stereogram, pyramidal, free energy healing, water downward spiral, brain dead pan, sales pitch, late night info docutainment. Leo, Pisces, Cancer cures, detox, reflex, foot massage, death and towers, tarot cards, psychic healing, crystal balls, Bigfoot, Yeti, aliens, churches, mosques, and synagogues, temples, dragons, giant worms, Atlantis, dolphins, truthers, birthers, witches, wizards, vaccine nuts, shaman healers, evangelists, conspiracy, doublespeak, stigmata, nonsense. Expose your sides. Thrust your hands, bloody, evidential, conclusive. Doubt even this.
The opinions and information provided on this podcast are intended for entertainment purposes only. All opinions are solely that of Glory Hole Studios, LLC. Cognitive Dissonance makes no representations as to accuracy, completeness, currentness, suitability, or validity of any information, and will not be liable for any errors, damages, or butthurt arising from consumption. All information is provided on an as-is basis. No refunds. Produced in association with the local Dairy Council and viewers like you.